to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 29 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to give you a little bit of some Disney news. Then we're going to move on and talk about what Jimmy's going to be doing on his trip to Walt Disney World. Yep, he's the lucky dog this week. Then after that, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the restaurants in Epcot that you probably don't want to miss. We'll just basically take a walk around Epcot and talk about what we think are some of the best places, and we might even mention some of the places we kind of avoid. On this week's show, we've got Sam from Sam's Disney Diary.
Hello.
Hi, Sam. How's it going?
Absolutely great. I am hungry in anticipation.
Sounds good. We also have Jimmy from Once Upon a Time Travel. How's it going, Jimmy?
Hello, human people.
And also, just in case you guys don't realize it, Jimmy's the admin over on the Disney Nerds group page over on Facebook. So, you know, you see him over there. Say hi when you see him next time. Let's go to Sam with some news.
So I have a couple of things this week. And I tell you what, I love bringing the news here because usually I just read these things and they're stuck in the back of my mind. But now I have a place to share it. So this is great. Thank you. So first, it's the week leading into Easter. And we have some times guides from the Magic Kingdom. And I have a question for you guys. What time is the 3 o'clock parade?
I got a feeling it's not at 3 o'clock.
It's not at 3 o'clock. Now, not only has the parade moved to 3:30, but there's now two of them for Easter week. So Festival of Fantasy Parade is going to be at noon and at 3:30 daily, at least for the current Times Guide, which runs up until Easter. We'll see what happens after that. But I think the popularity of this new parade is being seen everywhere.
I'm giddy just thinking about it that I'm going to be watching it this Thursday.
That's incredible. I would love to be doing the same. We also know that some of the mine train walls are starting to come down. In fact, there is a media event that is scheduled for April 30th, May 1st, and 2nd. So it's a three-day media event where they are going to be previewing the mine train. Now, they haven't said yet for sure whether it will be opened those days, but they're definitely going to be media event talking about the parade, talking about the mine train, talking about all of New Fantasyland and the fact that it's now all finally opened. So when did we first hear about this thing? All the way back at the D23 Expo in 2011, right? And now we're finally here, April 2014, and it's coming.
Wow, 3 years. That's pretty incredible. Did you guys see the video of the mine train of the moving characters and things like that? They had Dopey in there and a couple of the other dwarfs, the animatronics.
I did see it. It's over at the Disney Parks blog, the preview of the animatronics.
Yeah, that looked great.
It looks pretty incredible, I got to say.
It's not what I expected at all. I mean, when you look at the figures, it looks – the only thing I can compare it to in the Magic Kingdom is Buzz Lightyear over in the queue for Space Ranger Spin.
Sure.
He's got that sort of full face, but then their mouths are animated with some type of projection that has them singing right along to the song and the song's original music. Oh, it looks really good.
Very excited.
Very cool. Okay. What else you got for us?
So the only other thing I have, and this is still kind of rumors, but it looks like this is going to happen. From a FastPass perspective, we have all been, you know, looking at the FastPass Plus system and complaining that there's only three that you can schedule ahead of time, and all three need to be in the same park. Well, as we know, the system is changing continually. Even when we talk about it on the podcast, a couple of weeks later, the information's changed. Well, now it appears that there's going to be a fourth FastPass available for your trip. Now, they're going to keep three of them that you would schedule ahead of time, just like you're doing today. But once you've used those three, let's say you did Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, and It's a Small World. If those are finished, you could go to another attraction, maybe Big Thunder, and just like the old system, you would check in at one of the FastPass kiosks for another FastPass, which would allow you to get an attraction if it's available for the rest of the day. Then from there, it works just like the old system. Once you use it, you can go get another one.
Okay, I have a question about that.
Yes.
So from what you're hearing, say the scenario you just played out, I have my three fast passes at Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, and then It's a Small World. If I park hop over to Epcot, will I then be able to go to an attraction, check in, and get a fast pass there?
So all of that is still up in the air, right? But I do know that Disney understands the frustration with its guests with not being able to book in different parks. So there's some early conversations around them opening that up so that you could book ahead of time two in Magic Kingdom and one at Epcot in the evening. So I know they're working on that, and I have my fingers crossed that we'll be able to do that, because I would really love to, if I'm at Studios, use, you know, Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, and then head over to another park with my third one. From what they say, it's coming.
And in my opinion, I mean, it only makes sense. They're charging me $65 for a park hopper, and I can't fully utilize it because of their FastPass system, right?
And that could have been early limitations that are now starting to get through from a technology perspective. And I think we talked about it last week. They're still in the test, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Any computer system that's smart enough to know that you've been in one park earlier in the day and now you're in a second park, that means it can track you from park to park. So it's going to be able to keep track of your FastPasses. So you're right. It's only a matter of time, because that is a big hole.
Another news story we have is that this is the week that Jimmy's finally going down to the Magic Kingdom, right, Jim?
I will be there.
So I think what we need is to solicit ideas and research that we need Jimmy to be able to do while he's down there next week.
Anything you guys put on the Disney Nerds page while I'm there, the Disney Nerds group, that I think is reasonable and I can fit. Remember, this is still a family vacation, so I have to also appease my wife and my children. But if you put on there, hey, before you leave, I'd like to see a picture of you on the magic carpet of Aladdin with the Mickey ears on. If I can get that picture for you and post it up there, I'll be happy to do it.
Are we going to get any Where Am I Now pictures from you, Jim?
Yes, expect lots of patience.
All right, I'll be looking to play along.
Excellent, excellent. So Jimmy's first day in the park is going to be Thursday. So he's going to watch the Disney Nerds Facebook page. And anything you want him to do. How about Beverly? Is that in the list? Is that a must-do?
Sure, I will videotape me drinking a cup of Beverly, that makes you guys happy.
Yeah,
not one. So this is a great little segue here. The video that I just posted in Sam's Disney Diary is Club Cool, and Beverly's one of the only two flavors that made it from the old flavors to the new ones. But I mentioned the Beverly Challenge in that video, then I took it out. You know, so the Beverly Challenge is how many shots of Beverly can you do before you just can't take anymore. I want to know how many licks it takes before Jimmy can't drink any more Beverly.
So let me ask you this, Sam. Do you have some type of precedent you've set for this that I have to beat?
I have gotten to four or five, somewhere in between.
Four or five shots?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Of Beverly. You know, the little drink.
Okay. Guys, I can help you out with this one. Last year, I was at an event where they raised money for a charity that was basically, they had to drink 26 shots of Beverly.
Oh my God.
That's a lot.
I don't know about that. I would set it, and I watched it, and I saw it happen, and it was not happy at the end. So I would say that we could set your over-under at probably 10.
Come on now. I said I'd beat Sam's 4.5.
Dozen.
A dozen? Wow.
We're going to take this to... So Disney Nerds, Disney Nerd Group, Facebook, how many shots of Beverly does Jimmy need to drink?
That'll be interesting. And anything you want Jimmy to do, and it can be just a matter of checking on something for you down there too. Because there's always a lot of questions when we plan our trips, kind of like what we're talking about the fourth Fast Pass. When's it going to start? Is it going to happen? How does it really work? Can someone just use their magic band against one of those kiosks? Does it give you a friendly message that says, try again later? Can you do it after using your set? I mean, there's so many things that we can kind of test out. Yeah, Jimmy, you're going to have a real good checklist.
I'm up for the challenge. So you guys, believe me, if I can do it, like I said, without ruining my family's vacation, I'm willing to give it a shot for you. I'm here for you.
Now, one of the things Jimmy was talking about before we started recording was that they have their Epcot day planned, but they still weren't sure where they were going to eat because he's been to Epcot many times. And I think you said that's probably one of your favorite parks.
It is. You know, me and my wife usually go down for in October for Food and Wine Festival, and we spend a lot of time in Epcot.
Right. And he was asking us for some ideas and maybe some of the restaurants that we usually kind of always go to or we can never miss. And we figured that was a great idea for a show. So we're going to basically take a walk around Epcot. We'll come in and walk and talk about Future World. And we're going to talk about the counter service restaurants and the table service restaurants and kind of just touch on different things. If you want to see some menus for these places, allears.net has some great menus. And we mentioned last week also that My Disney Experience menus are pretty up to date, too. And actually, the Disney Food Blog, I'll just throw that out there one more time, too. AJ just had a really good article about some of the new things going on down in the parks. So you can check that out and kind of definitely fill in some of the blanks we'll leave today. So we're going to walk through Epcot, and we're in Future World.
You know, in Future World, I don't think you can beat Sunshine Seasons. And that's probably one of my favorite counter services in all of Epcot. And it's mainly because of the variety there. It's someplace I can go, me and my wife and the two kids, and everybody can be happy. So that's probably one of my favorites.
I would agree with that. I would say that Sunshine Season is one of my top three from a counter service perspective. It's because of the variety. It's because you can get some of the vegetables that they're growing inside the land, Living with the Land attraction, which I think is wonderful.
Good point.
I really like the selection. It's a little bit out of the way, and it's sort of quiet. It's also a good spot to hang out if you're waiting for that Soarin' Fast Pass to become good or whatever it might be, but I do like Sunshine Season.
And let me add, it's one of the only places you can get free drink refills.
Really?
Yeah, because they have
I did not know that.
They have a soda station there, so counter service wise, you can go refill your cup as much as you want.
Oh, sodas. I wondered why they wouldn't. Never mind.
I see.
I'm almost sure that the electric umbrella does that too. At least the last time we were in there. We haven't been in there in a while, so probably like 3 years ago, they had that same thing where you took the cups across to the other side and filled them up at the soda machines.
I think you're right.
I'll tell you another stop that my family hits quite a bit, and it's usually coming out of the land, hooking to the right and headed over to Imagination. Right on the left is a cart that is my youngest son's biggest decision of the trip: Mickey pretzel or popcorn bucket. And that is a major decision for a six-year-old. I love the fact that they have both of them and he can pick right there.
Oh, very cool.
It's a good little snack stop.
There's a couple actually really good food stands in Future World. There's a really good breakfast one, like a coffee and muffin and buns and things like that, over in front of Ellen's Energy Adventure. We kind of hit that one. Our routine at Epcot is you basically make the run for the fast passes for Soarin', ride it because you're right there in the beginning, walk over, do test track, and then after test track, we've got like a half hour to kill before the fast pass for Soarin' comes up again. So that's when we usually get our coffee and our muffin at the little stand they have there. And it's got a big selection.
And it's got a very big selection. You can also throw, you know, a little bit of Bailey's Irish Cream in the coffee or get an Irish coffee. Those are options when you're in Epcot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very cool. As far as counter service goes in Future World, it is really limited. Sunshine Seasons is my favorite to go to also. I think it's great because of the selection. It's really good breakfast place also. They have a really good breakfast in there. If you are coming down, the first thing to go do Soarin', you can hit breakfast after that. But then the rest of the day, the meals are pretty good. I like the pork chop personally, but there are a lot of other good things in there. And like Sam said, you get to experience some of the food right from where they grow in the land. So what can beat that?
And they also have a nice little bakery there. A lot of places around the world you go to, a lot of the counter services have like the carrot cake and the cheesecake in the little cups. They don't have that there. They've got a carrot cake cupcake and a real piece of cheesecake. So the bakery there is very good as well.
As far as table service goes in Future World, there's not too many options either. You've got the sit down in the Seas Pavilion.
Coral Reef.
Right. And you also have the Garden Grill over in the land. Each of them have their own specialties about them. I haven't eaten over in the Coral Reef in a while. And a lot of the reviews had kept me off of it for maybe the past 5 years, believe it or not. However, in the last year or two, I've heard a lot of good reviews. So I'm looking forward to trying to get back into there. And then the Garden Grill is awesome because, again, you're eating a lot of the food that's grown there at the land exhibit. So it's really nice in that respect.
And remember, the Garden Grill is a character dinner or lunch. That's Chippendale's Harvest Feast at the Garden Grill. And that restaurant rotates. So as you're eating and experiencing the characters, you're rotating back into the attraction Living with the Land. So there are some pretty interesting views of the farmhouse scene where you can see inside the windows, and it's sort of interesting. It's a different view. Good food. I think most of the character breakfasts are a little steep in price, but if you're after Farmer Mickey and Chippendale and Goofy, I believe it was, that we saw, that's a pretty good spot.
The only thing I can add to that is that they serve meals family style, so they bring platters of food out to you, and they're endless as long as you're still hungry.
You know, I mean, I've eaten there once at the Garden Grill. It's been probably 2007, 2008 I ate there. I wasn't crazy about the food, to be honest with you. But the Coral Reef is someplace we do every time we – well, let's say every time we have the dining plan anyway. We really enjoy the Coral Reef. I've never had a bad experience there.
Oh, excellent.
It seems the Coral Reef is one of those places that we've been year after year, but the menu is always different. A couple of years ago, we went there. They had a great mahi over these pepper jack cheese grits. Last year, we went there. That wasn't there anymore. So it seems like their menu changes up pretty often.
They're looking for that good mix.
Yeah, I guess.
And you know, with two – if you look at Epcot as a whole, with two restaurants in Future World and all of the countries and food offerings, I just don't find myself in these two that often. I'm always looking to get back into World Showcase.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
But there's some place that if you haven't eaten before, definitely should be on your list at one point or another.
Agree.
Okay, so we're going to walk out of Future World and we're going to walk toward World Showcase. Now, the first question, the obvious question is, which way do you go, left or right? Let's see if we go with the stats.
We always go right. We always go to Canada first.
Sam?
You know, it depends. Now, I will say a lot of times when I'm coming into World Showcase, I'm coming in the International Gateway from one of the Epcot resorts, which we'll talk about when we get over there. But I think with the kids, I'm headed towards Mexico because we're going to see Donald Duck and the Three Caballeros. So I'm going Mexico way.
Yep. We tend to go Canada unless we have something specific over on the other side of the pond to go to. But yeah, we're usually going to Canada because we go to see O Canada. That's, again, one of our favorites, and we head that way. So that's always interesting to find out. So we're going to go Canada way because we're 2-1 in that direction. And in Canada, counter service meals, well, they're non-existent. They do have a nice little stand over on the side where we all agree they serve beer. We're not too sure what kind of food, if they do serve food over there.
I don't even know if they serve food. I'm not sure. They have a couple different types of beer. I know they serve Moosehead and Carlsberg, is it?
Right. But you know what stops me from saying they don't serve food is that I can't remember the last time I saw a stand that did not have some type of food. Even if it's simple as the pretzels or peanuts or something like that.
Sure.
But, however, Canada does have one of the premier table service restaurants. Who wants to talk about Le Cellier? Have you guys been to there?
I've eaten there probably three or four times.
Okay, awesome.
I think it's fantastic. I don't think it's worth two counter service meals if you're on the dining plan, which I think has hurt its attendance a little bit. And I understand why they did it, because before it had such a great reputation that it was probably the hardest restaurant in all of Walt Disney World to book. So I get why they bumped it up to two table service credits, but it's not worth it to me. They have great pretzel bread there. The steaks are really good. The place is very quaint. It's very kind of romantic, although somewhat noisy.
Right. Yeah, it's a great steak place. It's probably my second or third best steak on property. I do have a place that's a better steak than that. We did that probably about 5 years ago was the last time we were in there. And again, the food is incredible. It's a high-class restaurant. I agree with Jimmy. I don't think it's worth two credits. The only other thing I would say is just it is a little dark. Some people, that does bother them a lot when they have meals. But it's as if you're in, what do you think, a wine cellar of a castle?
Le Cellier is the cellar.
Right.
Cellar.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
So when so Le Cellier is the cellar, and you know, it's dark.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think it's worth two counter service credits. I love the cheddar cheese soup.
Oh, right. Yes.
It's good. And a lot of people rave about that. Between that and the pretzel bed, I'm probably done. Which, how hard could it be to get soup at the counter where they have the moose head? It's out every year for Food and Wine.
I was going to say, and that's probably why they don't do that, because they would not have that as being a specialty at Food and Wine. And that is definitely a main hit for people. That's one of our first stops is for the cheese soup.
It'd be old hat.
Yep. And to Ed's point earlier, I think there's a much better steak not far out of International Gateway over at the Yacht Club. But we've done Le Cellier. We haven't done it recently because it's just too expensive.
Is that where your number one steak is? Ed, just curious, off topic.
Mine, yes.
Yachtsman?
No, because I've never eaten there. Mine is over at the Kona Cafe over at the Polynesian. They have an incredible, I believe it's a New York cut, that it just, you know, and again, it could be the restaurant just getting good shipments of beef that week or those couple times I was there, and they just lucked out, but it's always seemed to be consistent. I've eaten there a couple times. I had a little time today, so I was over at Sam's Disney Diary. So I checked out his video on the Yacht Club Hotel, and it was a pretty good video because he gives you an idea of what the place is like. But he goes into the steakhouse, and he talks to the cast member there, talks about the beef and the aging process and what they go through, and it's pretty interesting. So you got to check out some of Sam's videos. I definitely think you're going to learn some stuff out there. So we're going to move on now and move over to England. And England gives us two opportunities. We have a counter service and we have a table service. The counter service is one of the restaurants that we make it a point to hit each trip. It's kind of funny. It seems like I say that about almost every restaurant. However, this one definitely falls into that category. It's the fish and chips place at the end of the building where the main restaurant is, the Rose and Crown. This is actually, I think, called the Yorkshire Fish House or the Yorkshire, I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yorkshire County Fish Shop.
Oh, okay. I was close. I got the Yorkshire. And it's basically literally just fish and chips. You're going up there to get the fish and the French fries and beverages. I don't think they had much more than that.
Well, they have a shortbread cookie. So if you're in the dining plan, you can get that.
Oh, of course, the dessert. My bad. Which is a must have after you finish that greasy fish. But I tell you, they wrap it up in the fake paper, and you could basically then just keep on walking. That's why we like it so much, is we're usually getting the snack before the fireworks. And that's a nice one to kind of walk around looking for a spot to sit and watch fireworks at night.
I love it as well. I have one complaint probably from the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And it's after you get your fish and chips and you go over for the tartar sauce or the ketchup or whatever. And it used to be a pump, and you just a couple of pumps right on it. Now I'm messing with these little packets and getting them all over myself when I'm putting them in the garbage can. Oh, come on.
I've only eaten there, I think, once, and it's been a few years. So as far as the food, I don't have a lot to say about it. I think one complaint I've heard people say is that it's not really chips. It's French fries.
Well, they're steak cut French fries, so they're a little bigger. But yeah, I'm not exactly sure what chips are. So,
yeah, I've heard some British people say that they're not chips; that they're different than what you would get if you ordered fish and chips.
Well,
in England.
Up until I heard that, I was really happy. Now I'm not too sure. Nah, I'm not kidding. Still tastes great. Always get the malted vinegar too. That's a definite. Yep. Got to have that with everything else. Now, the restaurant attached to that is the Rose and Crown, and that's a sit-down restaurant that they have in England, which I've only eaten there once. Way back when in the dining plan, Leslie and I ate there, and it was okay. However, I'll say it again, I have not eaten there ever again, so I wasn't 100% impressed. How about you guys?
The only thing I've ever had there is Carl's Combo, which is a beer downstairs, and they mix Stella Artois and Bass Ale, and it's delicious.
Oh, wow, yeah. But
as far... And the guy that works there, his name's Carl. He's a bartender. He's been there like 20 years, and he calls it a Carl's Combo. On the menu, it's called a Golden. But if you go there and ask for a Carl's Combo, anybody there will know what you're talking about, and it's fantastic. But no, I've never eaten in the restaurant.
I have eaten in the restaurant. I have timed it so that we're outside and have a nice seat for illuminations. It's a great spot for that. Timing is definitely difficult. So Rose and Crown has indoor seating and outdoor seating. The fish and chips are actually different inside than they are at the kiosk. It's a different type of fish, and they'll give you the details on that. And some people that don't like the outside kiosk do like the inside fish and chips. And they have your other traditional English meals, which I have had there. Mushy peas is a big hit with the kids.
Mm-hmm. Bangers and mash.
Absolutely. You name it, it's there. The bar as well. You know, you go in there, see the hat lady if she's playing. And it's a nice little spot.
It is. It's very nice to hang out.
Traditional English pub.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. After England, we're going to walk across the bridge into France. Now, this is what Sam was saying is where his normally entryway is into the world. So when you enter the park from this entrance, Sam, which way do you go from here?
This is pretty easy, and let me tell you why. This is another video I did. When I'm coming in the morning into International Gateway, I am going straight to the Boulangerie Patisserie, the French bakery. Not really published, but World Showcase isn't officially open until 11 o'clock, but the French bakery opens for breakfast. So if you ask the cast member, they'll let you go across the bridge into France. France will be empty. The breakfasts are absolutely great. You name the French pastry, and it is there. It's authentic. They're wonderful. That's my best breakfast spot in Epcot, right back there.
Wow. I'll have to try that one out.
Now, is that the bakery that's also considered a counter service as far as lunches go and things?
They definitely have lunches. Even in the early hours, they have, you know, lots of croissants and, you know, ham and cheese or ham and Swiss and lots of French baguettes with different meats and cheeses on them. So I could see how that would be a lunch spot. They also have some mimosas back there at breakfast time, which isn't bad.
Not at all.
The new location, they expanded the seating quite a bit. In fact, it's the first time I've seen Disney take retail space away for seats, which was kind of interesting. Usually it's the other way around, right? They take seats out and put retail in.
Sure.
Then the prior location that was the bakery is now an ice cream shop. So that's on the street as you walk past, and you actually go past it to get back to the bakery.
I've heard a lot of good things about the ice cream place, too.
I have not been there because I'm always there early and it's not open yet. Jimmy, you need to check that out for us.
I'll check out the ice cream.
Yep.
I'm on mission.
Now, in France also, they have two kiosks, or I guess we'll call them stands, that are small little operations that have point of service cash registers that sell things. The one sells drinks, which has really great frozen drinks using Grey Goose and
Grand Marnier.
Right. And they're incredible drinks for watching fireworks. Next to it, they also have a crepe stand. And you can get any different type of combination crepe they have with or without ice cream. So that's always a nice snack, too. All around World Showcase, and we'll try to hit these as we hit the countries, they have a bunch of these small little kiosks that kind of make it a little easier to get yourself a small snack or something to drink as you're walking around. So you don't have to get really into the crowds if it's a busy day of the countries themselves.
Some of the big news that came out just a couple weeks ago is that the stand in France that has the Grand Marnier orange slush and the Absolute lemon slush is now they offer bigger sizes. And both of those are very popular, but they always had just one little size that came in like a martini glass.
Right.
But now they actually offer a larger one.
Awesome. Red cups.
Red cups.
Well, that's good. That's always good news. Now they'll be about $20 each.
Right.
You know, it's disappointing if you pour one of those out of the glass it's in because it's probably 6 to 8 ounces.
Right.
There's not a lot in those martini glasses. And for the price, they need to be bigger. Exactly.
Yeah, well,
that's
good.
There's not a lot of drink. The last two sit-down restaurants in France, Chefs de France and Monsieur Paul's, which I probably just butchered the pronunciation. But one of those I was in back when Ratatouille was there, the small animatronic. I don't believe he makes any appearances anymore, but I did see him with the kids.
Remy.
And actually, it was pretty good. That is one of the restaurants. Then the other one is upstairs above it, which recently went under refurbishment.
So that's always been there? The one above?
That's always been there. I forget what it was called previously, but it was a real quote-unquote fancy French restaurant, as fancy as you could be for being inside a theme park, right?
As opposed to being as fancy as the one downstairs, though.
It was a step up as far as service and price, which is why you may not have been there.
No, I'm really kind of I love this doing this show because I get to learn something new all the time. I did not know there was a second restaurant there. That's awesome.
Yep.
Now I'll have a second one not to go to. Awesome. I'll be able to point two places. One of the coolest things, have you ever seen the guys who stand on the chairs? The acrobats? So they're basically looking into the restaurant windows when he's up on the top level then of his chairs, if it's right there on top.
Yes, absolutely.
Very cool.
And just a note, I haven't eaten at either one of those either, Ed. But just a note to the listeners, if you happen to be in Epcot, walking past France, and you see a guy standing out in front of the place on a chair, stop and watch.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are pretty incredible. The guy on the ground's hilarious. The guy actually...
Oh, he's hilarious. Oh, he's hilarious.
Yep. Definitely fun. There's a lot of those things. And you know what? That's actually another show, too. It's the Showcase Players.
Yep.
Each of the different countries has their own brand of actors, actresses that come out to entertain. It's pretty incredible. However, we're talking food today, so we're going to continue on our walk around the World Showcase. Where are we going to stop next?
Spice Road Table, that's where I'm going.
Okay, so that's probably, I think Sam's probably the only one that's been to this place so far since it's only about 5 months old.
That's your mini food and wine festival on the left of Morocco on the World Showcase side, where basically it's small plates from Mediterranean countries, which allows them to have things from Greece, from Turkey, lots of countries right there on the Spice Road. So when you go in, they'll tell you the little story about the spice trade and the route that went through the Mediterranean, all of the flavors that they have. Drinks are good. Lots of small plates. I think the best value is the combos, which are a combination of three of the appetizers, and it's a little less expensive than individuals. But I do like Spice Road Table.
How would you consider categorizing this place? Is it more of a counter service? Is it a bar? Is it a table service?
So that's a great question. I wouldn't call it a counter service. There is, if you remember, the old juice bar that used to be near this location. So there is a counter on the outside of the building, but that's separate from the Spice Road Table. I would put this in a new category, similar to Tutto Gusto over in Italy, which we'll get to, or similar to the tequila bar inside of Mexico, where it's more of a lounge with small plates, with menus where you're ordering from a waiter or waitress, but you're not necessarily, you know, at a sit-down restaurant. Easy to get into. Now, Spice Road Table does have inside and outdoor seating, so you're greeted by a maitre d'. Do you want to sit inside or outside? But it's not a full menu. It's more of an appetizer menu with some drinks. So a new category almost.
Awesome. I mean, I predict they're probably going to have a couple more of these around World Showcase.
The one thing it does bring is seating for Illuminations, right? Both inside and outside. So that's something they've been adding around World Showcase. If you think about what they did in Mexico a few years ago, who knows? There could be more of those coming.
Right.
Well, one of the things that they just announced recently, right, is that at Epcot, they're going to have a few places that's going to offer drink and small plate menus after closing. That's going to stay open till from when Illuminations ends till like 11 o'clock at night.
So like an extra couple hours. That's great. I did see that.
I think it's $35 a person, and it's like small food items and comes with a drink, and then you can order drinks after that.
So Extra Magic costs $35 now. That's what I think.
Well, I mean, that comes. They give you food and some drinks with that.
All right, if I'm getting food and drinks with that, okay, I'm good with that.
Yeah, yeah, no, it includes some. It includes some food and I think a drink, and then if you want to order drinks past that, you can.
Right.
But
so you figure a drink's $10.
Yeah.
And then depending on the food you get, yeah, it's probably worth staying. Plus, you know what? You're right. It's a nice time to wind down. You'd go and spend $35 at a bar regardless.
Yep.
Yep.
So cool. I can't wait to hear more about that. Jimmy?
Yeah, Jimmy.
Find out.
$35 for all four of us would be expensive to bring the kids to.
Well, no, you can ask about it. Let's find out some more details. And you know what? They got to have some literature or something about that. That sounds a little bit too formal.
I just saw something, man. I'd have to look it up, but I can let you know. The Disney Travel Agency, Travel Professionals, I get emails from them, and I got something today actually about it. That's why it was so right there in the front of my brain.
So interesting, in Morocco, they added Spice Row Table, but that's net new. It did not replace the Tangerine Cafe.
Right. Now, the Tangerine Cafe is the only place I've eaten in Morocco, which is the counter service there. And it offers a pretty good selection of Moroccan and Middle Eastern food. Which, it's kind of cool because it's almost like the way you could test out if you really like it, instead of sitting down in the table service and putting a couple bucks out.
I like Tangerine Cafe. It's one of my favorite counter services, but it is more Middle Eastern food than it is Moroccan food.
So what do you usually get there, Jimmy?
There's a combination plate that I got the last time I was there that was very good, and it had... I think it had shawarma, and it had, I don't remember, gyro. It had couscous.
Okay. Sounds good.
It was very good. But we've also eaten in Marrakesh, and I've eaten in restaurant Marrakesh a few times.
So let's talk about that. Marrakesh is the sit-down restaurant in the far back, all the way in the back. I have never eaten there.
Marrakesh, restaurant Marrakesh, has actual Moroccan food. And it's different. It's different than anything I've eaten before. I liked it. Actually, I have a guy that I work with who's from Morocco. He actually was recruited by the Disney company to work at the Moroccan Pavilion. This is like early 90s. And that's how he ended up in this country. So I always go in there and take pictures and text him back pictures and stuff because that's where he's from. But the food there is very interesting. It's very good, but it's different. It's a lot of flaky pastries with meat in it. They call it bastilla or bastilla. It's like a crispy pastry with meat in it, and it's got powdered sugar on it. So they also do shish kebabs and stuff like that for people that are, maybe don't want to go out on the edge. So, you can get shish kebabs. So
how did have your kids eaten there? How old were they, and how'd it go for them? That's one reason why I've never gone there.
But they both enjoyed it. That was probably about 2-3 years ago, so they were probably 9 and 12. And they both enjoyed it. I mean, there's a kids menu. I mean, if you get shish kebabs, I mean, come on, you can't go wrong with chunks of meat on a shish kebab,
Yeah, my kids are pretty much scared away from the majority of the menu there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Same here. Same here.
They do a dessert that's called bastilla as well. And it's like these big strips of pastry that they put almonds in this, like, it's almost like a pudding on. It's so delicious. We've enjoyed it each time we've gone there, and it's actually one of the, if you're going to pay for it out of pocket, it's probably one of the lesser expensive places as far as sit-down restaurants to eat.
All right, Jimmy. So Marrakesh, I'd love to get my kids over there. I'm just not sure it can happen. So the next country is Japan. Teppan Edo. Tokyo Dining, Katsura Grill, Kabuki Cafe. Have you guys been to any of these?
I have only been to Teppan Edo.
Teppan Edo is your hibachi style.
That is.
Where they're going to cook in front of you. And my kids do like that a lot. But it's something that we do back home a lot. So
I was
really going to set.
That. Yeah. We've enjoyed it every time. But again, like you said, Sam, it's something that you can get pretty much anywhere.
Ed, have you done that one?
No, I haven't. I kind of went with the theory is it's we have the Benihanas along near us.
And that's
exactly.
Really it.
Right.
Exactly. And you're going to pay three times as much as you would at Benihana.
Sure. Yeah, the only difference is you don't get the smoking Space Mountain onion tower. So
right.
That's about the only difference between Epcot and the one we usually go to.
Yep.
A lot of it is, we probably wouldn't even have planned it there, but when you have the dining plan and you're filling all these different dining reservations, one for every day you're there, that's why we ended up eating there.
Oh, no, don't defend it. I think it's a great place.
It is a great place.
I've heard that's
lots of options in Epcot.
And I've heard that's a really good place if you're there around 9 o'clock to come out on the deck and watch the fireworks from there also.
Yeah,
The second floor up there.
And you can do that with Tokyo Dining as well. Those restaurants are in the same location. Tokyo Dining's more the sit-down sushi and grilled items from the kitchen, not from the hibachi grill in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's upstairs in the same spot. Like, I have never done this one.
Either have I, but I know they have tempura also, and it's supposed to be pretty good. Yeah, as far as Japan goes, I'm mainly a counter service person. I really, really, really like the Katsura Grill, which used to be something else only a couple years ago. They've kind of rebranded it.
They have a great teriyaki combination up there. I do like it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's nice. It's a little bit away from the pathway of World Showcase. You get to walk up a little hill over the koi pond and the little Japanese garden there. It's really, really nice. It's a little break.
This was in 2012. We were there for Flower and Garden, and that right around the little koi pond and all, they had some really, really cool bonsai trees out there for Flower and Garden.
Cool.
Like bonsai trees that were like 60, 70 years old.
They also have the Kabuki Cafe, which we like to stop at, which has some really, really good shaved ice and some really good sake drinks also.
This is the one that's out on the main circle, right?
It's on the back side of the building that they play the drums on.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is where my daughter gets the Japanese soda, which is in the interesting bottle where they have to push the top down. And
yes.
We have to stop there every time we walk by the place for one of these Japanese sodas.
Have your kids gotten that before, Ed?
Yes, we have. And actually, I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but you can buy those sodas at Wegmans now.
Stop it.
In the past 2 weeks, we've had about a dozen of them because Hope won't stop buying them.
It's
losing its luster.
Well, what's really cool about it is the first time we opened it, I was like so excited to see this bottle again outside Epcot that we videotaped it, and I'll probably do a post on it saying that we found something from the parks outside the parks now.
That's cool.
But it's got the Japanese writing on the label still. There's English also telling you the flavor and such. But what's cool about it is that the marble is stored at the top of the bottle, which seals it. And when you take the cap off, the cap breaks up into two different pieces. The one piece you turn upside down, which forces the marble down into this alcove at the neck of the bottle, which then opens the bottle up. It lets the soda past it. But I think what happens is because the marble stays at the bottom of that little alcove, it keeps the carbonation in. That's the only thing we could figure out why the hell they do it.
And one other thing.
I always want to try to get it out of there, but.
Yeah, well, you're going to be breaking glass, but yeah.
Yeah, so they take my beer glass away, but they let my daughter have a glass of soda. Anyway.
One of the other things, talking about things you find outside the park, is in that little stand. It's like a little, almost like convenience store right there outside the restaurant. They sell like these wasabi peas.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found those. They actually sell them at Walmart, but the can actually has the Japanese writing on it, so it's pretty interesting.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so that's Japan, and a lot of dining options in Japan. That's a good place to stop if you're hungry.
It's a great place.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Now, moving on to a place that surprisingly doesn't have as many restaurants as you think, but since we are in America, and it's the American Adventure, I guess they can get away with it because we can just leave the park and eat at any American restaurant we want.
They've done a lot here lately, right, at the Liberty Inn in the back. In fact, one of the latest menus, I see a New York strip steak.
Really?
Which is kind of interesting, with a red wine butter, french fries, and broccoli.
No kidding.
A California Angus burger, a Southwest chicken salad. So they're sort of hitting different areas of the country.
Mm-hmm.
A Smoky Mountain barbecued pork sandwich, a Caesar salad with chicken, and then the desserts are, you know, a Rocky Road mousse brownie sounds awesome, and an apple pie sounds pretty good as well. So I think they're trying, but it's still hamburgers and hot dogs. But that steak is interesting.
No, I'm impressed. I thought it was basically hamburgers and hot dogs, not really that much of a selection. I don't know if that's the last time I looked, or I might have been just even wrong, but that sounds really good.
We've eaten there probably a couple times, but it's never been anything memorable. I definitely don't remember them having a steak there.
So you're going to have to check that out.
All right.
On the list.
And then, of course, put that on my list.
Put it on the list. And, of course, the Fife and Drum is right in front with the turkey legs and frozen beverages. Sam Adams.
Yingling.
One of the really only things we eat in American Adventure nowadays is the funnel cake. They have a little one of those stands like we were talking about where they have them all through World Showcase. And they sell the best funnel cake. And again, maybe it's just because it's in Disney World and we're getting ready for fireworks perhaps or something like that. But it's the best funnel cake you're ever going to buy. And they've got so many topping ideas that it's crazy, between chocolate or the sugar or I don't know if they had strawberries in there. Can't remember if that's
that has got to be the smallest kitchen space in all of Walt Disney World.
Oh, no doubt. But they're pumping them out. That line is always there. There's always a line.
I've got a picture of my nephew with powdered sugar from his nose to his chin.
Yep, very, that's very crazy. Good snacks.
So the next stop, Italy, is by far one that I am going to every time. Whether it's Tutto Italia, Tutto Gusto, or Via Napoli, I think the popularity of Tutto Italia has surpassed Le Cellier from a reservation perspective. Hmm. I really love it there, and I'll tell you why. There are some dishes in there that are exactly like my nonna made them years ago. So I love the polenta, love the meatballs. It's just absolutely perfect. So Tutto Italia, I can't say enough about it. It's a must-do for me every time.
I actually don't eat at Italy at Epcot. There's always so many other choices for me. And growing up in an Italian family, we've tended to have a lot of Italian food all the time. So I end up slipping by at Italy, and I really don't experience the food, which with the new restaurants in the last couple of years, I really got to take advantage of that. So on my list.
So I'll give you a little trick here. Tutto Gusto, which is the wine cellar. So think Spice Road table, similar. Small plates, little quaint areas, some small couches. You can actually order the full Tutto Italia menu from there. But they also have some really interesting flights. And not just drinks, but dessert flights, where you'll get small samplings of multiple cheesecakes or whatever it might be. And I really like Tutto Gusto for that reason as well.
No, that's great. That sounds awesome.
Jimmy, have you done either of those?
I haven't. I haven't eaten in Italy.
Oh, I got to get you guys back there. Via Napoli, the pizzas, the miso metro. Oh,
I'm looking forward to it.
That's with the water imported from Italy?
Make me hungry.
So I'll tell you one of the interesting things here. From a family perspective, we all love the pizza except my daughter. So I'm bringing this up because Disney is very, very flexible. In fact, I will get one of the boxes, a kid's box of teriyaki chicken from Japan, bring it over to Italy, and there's absolutely no problem. They'll bring her plates. They'll let her put it right on the plate. We're having our pizza, and she's eating her teriyaki chicken.
No kidding.
And they're super flexible when it comes to that. So don't think that because you're going here, everybody's got to do it. You can grab something to go and take it to any of the places.
Sure. The general picture, it's all for Epcot. So.
Yep.
Yeah, but I thought some of those restaurants weren't owned by Disney. Or not operated by Disney. I'm sure Disney gets a cut. I'm sure it's leased to Disney. You know, they're leasing the space from Disney, but aren't some of them run by somebody else?
Yeah, but I got to think cast members, regardless of who owns the restaurant, are still going to still go to the same standards that the Disney company cast members would. So,
you know what? Talking about Morocco, the guy I knew that worked there, he worked in retail. And he said that was the place to work because the guys who worked in the restaurant didn't work for Disney.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not. And maybe that's changed since then. This is years and years ago when he was there, when he was telling me that they got treated a lot better in the retail than they did, than the people did that worked in the restaurant.
Yeah, but even so, I got to think Disney has some standards.
Oh, standards. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. So I tell you what, Sam, out of all the meals in Italy that you've tried, give me probably what the one is you're going to go get the next time, first thing. Or what's the best thing?
I know without even looking at the menu, I'm going to Tutto Italia and getting the polenta. It just reminds me of my childhood. That's why I'm doing it.
Kind of like the old review guy in Ratatouille.
It is. That's where I'm headed. I love it. And I tell you what, when I've taken my father there and he absolutely says, yep, this is as good as my mom's was.
Awesome.
So that's perfect.
Quick show note. Monsieur Paul's was previously Bistro de Paris.
Oh.
We were talking about that, what it was, the hoity-toity, really fine dining.
Exactly.
It was Bistro de Paris.
Mm.
Which, and I got to tell you, I was in there once with my wife and the kids, and it just didn't feel right. It was too, you know, to have a little one in a high chair at the time, it didn't feel right to be up there. So I think they've made a good decision in turning that into a less formal location.
Sure.
Although it's still inside a theme park, right?
Right.
Sure. That's the point. Okay. So we're going to stroll over from Italy, and we're going to go over to Germany. And Germany is a nice place in that, even though it's one of the smaller countries in World Showcase, it still has two really good choices for restaurants, a counter service and a table service. Now, I've never eaten at the Beer Garden, which is the table service. I have eaten at the Summerfest, which is the counter service, which is a really good restaurant, really good place to pick up some traveling food because they've got some great brats and some hot dogs and things like that in there, good pretzels and some desserts, and everybody serves beer.
There's yeah, great beer.
Have you guys eaten at the Beer Garden before?
I have, actually.
I have as well.
We just ate there for the first time last October, and it was pretty fantastic, actually. They do you sit, actually, at a table amongst other families. So it was just me and my wife. We ended up sitting with another older couple and then a family of four. So it was eight of us at the table. So they sit you with people that you don't know. And it is a buffet. A lot of different sausages and brats and things of that nature. But it was very good. Everything there was very, very good. And they also do a show there. They were gearing up for it. We had a very early lunch there. And they were about to start the show. And we didn't hang around for it. We kind of ate and split.
So that buffet includes the exact same pretzel bread that you get over in Canada.
Something
to remember that's on the buffet. That was a highlight for me.
I've had it. As far as the same.
Yeah, it's definitely the same. From a entertainment perspective, it's a classic German Oompa band. They do the chicken dance and get the kids involved in the singing and the dancing. They do the tiki-taki, oi, oi, oi. So there's a salute that they do every once in a while, and it's your classic German Oompa, and everybody sort of gets into it, so it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool.
Now, I will point out at the counter service location, Summerfest, the bread that the bratwursts are served on, I think, is phenomenal. That's got to be freshly baked. I don't know where it's coming from, but it makes that bratwurst. It's the bun that the thing's in.
Is it absolutely great. Is it pretzel bread, or was that the kiosk at the Food and Wine had pretzel bread?
That must have been Food and Wine, because this one's not pretzel bread. It's a regular bun, but it's big and it's fresh and flaky and really good.
Mm. Mm. Sounds it. Okay. Well, that's Germany, and that sounds really good. And actually, I'm kind of sad we're going to leave that one.
Well, you're forgetting a new one there, Ed, in Germany.
Oh, no.
Carmel Couche.
Oh, okay. That's right. The candy store.
Which you just need to walk into this thing and smell the caramel absolutely everywhere. They are just dipping everything in caramel, you name it. Oh, Jimmy, have you been there?
I have. We hung out there one time to charge my phone, Right back from the counter, there's actually an outlet on the wall, so we just kind of hung out in there.
We talked about this last show, didn't we?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Just the smell in there is just so ridiculous. And now it's themed, I think, to Werther's.
Yes.
So,
which is okay.
Yeah, no, it fits. I mean, it fits it. So, but I mean, they'll give you little samples of the caramel popcorn and stuff.
I was just going to say that. Go in and get a sample, if nothing else. Go in to smell and get a sample.
It's fantastic. And it's pretty cool to watch them make all that stuff, too.
That's always half the fun.
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to move on from Germany. And it's not actually mentioned on any of the maps, but we're going to stop at the African outpost because they do have a hot dog stand there. Hot dogs, sodas. I think they had popcorn. I'm not exactly sure. Or fries. So they do have a couple little snacks.
I just stopped there to play the drums. I had no idea.
and open the little Coca-Cola coolers.
Coca-Cola cooler. I don't know about this one. I'm just playing the drums.
You never opened the Coca-Cola cooler?
No.
When you open the little cooler, like if you're facing the outpost to the left, there's like some coolers there, like old-style ice chests. And then when you open them, they'll make different noises, and they'll spray water at you, and they'll go like a bottle open, like psh.
Yeah, they're pretty much, I think they're near the drums, aren't they?
Yeah, they're right next to them.
I'm always pounding the drums, sorry.
Like they got little misters in them and stuff. It's pretty neat.
That's cool, Sam. I'm glad to hear you heard something new. Awesome.
I did. I didn't know that.
Very cool.
I never thought I would tell Sam anything new.
Excellent.
Oh, come on. I'm always looking for new stuff.
Well, you know what? And let's take a little side note real quick, guys, because that actually is probably one of the biggest reasons that I keep going back to Disney World is that you have not seen everything. There is no way that you will. And it's so cool to find out something new. I think it's such a really good feeling that when you do that, that it just kind of makes the trip a little bit more worthwhile the next time.
Yep, I agree. Every time we go, we find something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Okay, as we continue around World Showcase, the next country we're going to walk through is going to be China. Now, again, China, just like Germany, has a really solid sit-down and a really solid counter-service restaurant. Kids and I always hit the Lotus Blossom Cafe. That's their counter-service. The kids really like it. It's not going to be that much different from the neighborhood Chinese food. It is a lot fresher, but, it's basically the standard fare. But again, the kids won't pass it. They really like it. They think it's a really good option in World Showcase.
Completely agree.
Have not eaten there.
I have some picky kids that love it, so I'm there. We also do Nine Dragons. Now, Nine Dragons gets a bad rap. It really does. The food's not that bad. It's how you approach it. So when we approach Nine Dragons, we approach it in, traditional Chinese style, which is more family seating, right? So we'll order a fish, a chicken, a beef, a vegetable tray, put it all in front of us, and this everybody shares it. And when you do that, everybody gets a flavor for all of the dishes, and it's not that bad. So Nine Dragons, my kids like it. I'm good with it, and then no problem with Nine Dragons.
We haven't eaten in China at all, and I've never heard bad things about Nine Dragons. I've just, from what I've heard, just the reviews I've heard is that, you can get that type of China. You can get Chinese food just like it at home.
And, depending on where you live, you might be able to say that for most of the countries, right?
Well,
and it gets down to be a personal taste thing. And I know if my kids are happy, I'm happy.
Oh, no, you got to go where the kids want to go. No doubt about it.
Definitely. And the meals they have or the different offerings they have there, I heard are, good quality. So, again, Jimmy's right. There's not really any negatives about it. It's just a matter of that it's a place that you could kind of get the similar type of food at home.
Now, I do have to mention one drink out in the front here, frozen drink that my wife gets all the time, which is the Peach Snap, which is a green tea and peach schnapps drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I messed up by not mentioning the Italian margarita back in Italy. That's one of her favorites, and I like it too. If you're into margaritas, it's essentially a margarita with limoncello instead of tequila.
Okay.
It's really good.
Very cool.
Really good.
Yep, we always can take a step back for a drink, so that's fine.
Absolutely.
And tell us about the peach drink now. It's peach schnapps and tea. It's got
green tea. It's a frozen drink.
Okay.
So it comes out green, but it's a really good combination. You might not think it, but I'll put it right up there with the Chambord over in Paris, and you go right around there with those three frozen drinks.
Right.
They're great on a hot summer day.
As we keep on walking, we're going to be coming into Norway. Now, I've never eaten at the, can't even say it, Asker House?
Royal... Princess Storybook Dining at Arker Chef's Royal Banquet Hall.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say the Princess Storybook Dining. I can't say that if I'm going to be there. For...
But that's what it is. You're not getting it in unless you're looking at seeing princesses, man.
Yeah, okay. Which I haven't eaten there. You guys?
I have.
We both got little girls, apparently.
Yep.
I've eaten lunch there. And actually, I wasn't there with my daughter. I was there actually on a trip with me and my wife, but a friend was there and her daughter was there. And the food was very good, actually.
It's another character spot. So just like the Garden Grove or Garden Grill, they are bringing the food constantly. As long as you want it, they're bringing it out.
I find it. I tell you, it's a very good alternative to Cinderella's Royal Table. If you have a daughter, wants to eat a meal with princesses, it's only one table service credit if you're on the dining plan versus two. It's on the Royal Table, so the food's really good. They do like a cheese and appetizer thing that's kind of a buffet style, and then they bring the rest of the food to you for lunch.
So, is there a lot of fish in the food?
There definitely was fish. I don't remember exactly. I mean,
I remember a lot of pickled stuff.
Over a year ago, but yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, let's move on to something I have been to, and I usually stop there every trip, and that's the Kringle Bakery over right across the walkway from where the Asker House is. And this is kind of a combination bakery and sandwich shop because they do make sandwiches in there also, so they're considered a counter service restaurant. However, the desserts are what you're there for, and they have a couple standards that everybody swears by, and there's a reason for it. They're all really good. I think for us, it's the, what do they call it, the school bread or the schoolhouse bread?
School bread, I believe.
Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of good things in there.
There's nothing wrong with a bakery. Come on.
No, not at all. You hit France Bakery for breakfast, you're going to hit this for dessert after dinner.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, cool. And as we continue and finish our walk around the world showcase, we're going to come to Mexico. Now, Mexico is a little special because they've been doing a lot of changes in the last 5 years in their outside restaurant. And actually, I take that back. The pavilion inside also has seen its share of changes, too. Let's start outside with the, what is that? The La Hacienda de San...
La Hacienda
yep.
de San Helien.
Okay.
Is that it?
So there's three there, right? There's the Hacienda, then there's the Cantina, and then there's also San Angelin.
Right, and that's the one that's inside, the third one.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
So the two outside is kind of like the theme that Disney's hit a couple of different times now in the parks, where we've seen them have one restaurant that at the lunchtime crowd, they have it as a counter service restaurant. But then for the dinner time, it switches over and becomes a table service. But this one's a little different than the Be Our Guest in that the counter service on the outside, I believe, stays open. Is that?
It does.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because it's the walk-up windows on the side.
Right, it's got the windows on the side with this outdoor seating right there.
Mm-hmm. Which, again...
Dos Equis,
definitely. Dos Equis. Tres Dos Equis. but the restaurant itself is really... I mean, Mexican, as far as Mexican food goes in Epcot, I have never had a complaint. It's always been a standard that we go to if we feel like eating Mexican. And for some reason, the whole idea of China being Chinese restaurants that we can get food similar never comes up because in our area, we don't really have a lot of great Mexican restaurants. So this is one place where just because where I'm from, my area, that I look forward to coming down to Epcot to eat Mexican food here.
I've never eaten at the Cantina or the outdoor restaurant. I have eaten many times at the San Angel Inn. Food is, we love it there, obviously, if we've eaten there a bunch of times. And we do have good Mexican food around here, but it's a little bit different. Typically, what you find here is more of a Tex-Mex, not authentic Mexican food like you would find in the San Angel Inn. So we enjoy the atmosphere. There's nothing like being in that restaurant on the inside with the volcano in the background and the boats going by.
Now, again, this is like Le Cellier, and it's a little dark in here. But really great atmosphere.
But it's wonderful on a hot day when it's just scorching outside to go inside and be, oh, this is wonderful.
Seriously, it's like going inside and experiencing night in Mexico.
Yes. Yep. in the middle of the day. So those two are great, but don't forget that other one I keep telling you guys about, right? La Cava del Tequila.
Oh, I will not forget that.
To me, translates, and I got to know how to translate that. The Cave of Tequila? Come on, that is perfect. More than 120 tequilas and handcrafted margaritas. That's a great spot to sit back. There's some nice little booths, nice little places in there. And this really is part of that new class that Disney's bringing around, right? The La Cava de Tequila, Spice Road Table, Tudo Gusta, they're all kind of the same. A place where you can hang out, relax, get a drink, get an appetizer. Typically, I would get the nachos in here, the chips in here, which are great.
They have a lot of different selections for margaritas. The Blood Orange Margarita was my personal favorite. They have some really good flights of incredible tequilas that's worth the taste test, because you're not going to see a lot of these tequilas in one place too often. And what's really nice about it is that also you get yourself a drink when you first come into the pavilion, and then you can walk around and kind of do a little shopping. Look over at the glass blowers. Do a couple things while you're drinking your drink, casually just like enjoying the air conditioning.
I think, I really like the way they're going with this. These little kind of places to just kind of chill out and sit back and relax and enjoy a drink. Especially for people like us who've been multiple times and don't feel the need to rush from attraction to attraction, to sit down and take some time to enjoy some of those things.
That is the attraction to some extent.
Absolutely, sure. It is. Especially if you get an opportunity to meet up with somebody that you may, on this trip, I may have an opportunity to meet up with Sam and his wife. And I mean, what better thing to do than just go kind of, hey, you know, rather than rushing around the theme park, hey, let's go have a seat and, have a couple of drinks and just chill and relax for a little while.
One thing about La Cava del Tequila is that sometimes it does get crowded. They actually have a line outside where they basically let people in when people leave. So just keep that in mind. Where
you can't get near the place on Cinco de Mayo, by the way.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. You can't. I was there once. You cannot get. Mexico is just unbelievable.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
And I've seen other countries in similar, celebrations, where we've been there for. Norway was having a celebration, and it was decorated pretty interestingly. So it's cool that they bring those celebrations, the cultures in as well.
Yeah,
very much.
Now, all this said, we were getting Jimmy ready for his trip, right?
Right.
The wild card that we never talked about here is, and what you and I are going to have to look into is this whole outdoor kitchens and the flower and garden outdoor food booths. I can't wait.
Well, let me tell you, Ed can attest. Last year, when me and my wife Dan went down for food and wine, we like to eat. We took pictures of more food and stuff that we tried. I mean, we tried just about everything. It felt like, anyway.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that again this time.
Yep.
We'll be looking forward to it.
So I am going to do my best to be there for a weekend, just me and my wife, and hopefully Jimmy, on the 25th of April 2014, we can meet up in Epcot. We'll post some things on Disney Nerds Facebook group of what's going on and what's happening, and I want to get you into Italy. You can take me someplace I haven't been before, and this is going to be fun.
Sounds fantastic.
Well, that's our walk around Epcot, talking about food, one of our favorite things. We'd like to hear what you have to say. What's one of your favorite restaurants or one of your favorite drinks at Epcot? Email the show at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and let us know. Or check out our Facebook page, The Disney Nerds Podcast on Facebook. And we also are part of the Disney Nerds Group. That's just Disney Nerds Group. You can check us out and follow us over there too.
Now I'm hungry. I got to go find... Where do I get those little Japanese soda things again?
Okay, guys. Well, that's it for show number 29 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. For Sam, Jimmy, this is Ed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
And Jimmy, have a great trip in Walt Disney World.
Bye-bye. I'll talk to y'all while I'm down there.